The Redhead Report, where you get true crime and headlines. I'm Catherine.
And I'm Alicia. And wow.
What did you think we were gone forever?
It's been a minute. we're gonna kick off this episode with a thank you to all of our listeners. We appreciate you still showing an interest in our podcast and sticking with us through this small hiatus that we've personally been trying to navigate ourselves through.
April Fools, we are back.
Yeah.
We got him. To everyone.
Also, I apologize if anybody can hear my dogs in the background.
You know,
we're gonna attempt to not make that a thing, but you know,
we're making
life is life.
Yeah. But to anyone that is new, hi, hello. We are a true crime podcast with a dash of randomness thrown in. We do cover true crime cases, but sometimes we just like to branch out and talk about current events that's happening in the news or just shoot the shit. You know, we're episodes, we talk about whatever topic we want to. We are two best friends, and we can talk for hours.
Yes.
In fact, we have. This is episode 65.
This is episode 65, and we do have almost, I mean, I guess like a year's worth of true crime and shoot the shit episodes in our catalog.
More than that, because I think we've been around for 2 years now, my dear.
Yes. And we do have a small case to talk about today. And we mean small because this episode is also just kind of an update for our listeners and kind of an explanation on where we've been.
Sure. Okay, let's get into that first. And we'll do a little obsession confession just because I know you guys have missed knowing what we're into.
Yes.
But let's talk about like what what happened here. What happened to the Redhead Report? Which would be a great, obviously we're going to talk about a case, so that's not going to be the title of this episode, but yeah. What happened to the Redhead Report is a funny title.
Yeah. I mean, in the end of 2021 and really the beginning of 2022 was a whirlwind to say the least.
You know what I said today to a coworker of mine? I feel like I've had a headache since December.
Yeah.
Did you feel?
Just, yeah, like anxiety on 2000%.
Yeah.
I mean, and outside of this podcast, Catherine and I do have lives. I know that's crazy, but we do have lives. And unfortunately, we don't do this full time, even though it's a dream of ours to one day do this and other things, and to basically be able to live our lives and manage ourselves. But outside forces kind of shook us up a little bit.
Right. And one of the main things that you might have noticed that has changed, and you might not notice, we actually don't know how this is going to go, is the sound. Hey, maybe it's better because for the first 10 episodes, I wasn't even recording your microphone. So like,
we're learning, we're growing.
We're learning, everybody. But we're no longer recording in the same soundproof room together. We are recording remotely.
Yep.
Which is very sad, but it may be a little bit for us to figure out like the best way to do this recording wise. But for now, we're thinking we've got it covered enough to do like make it audible for y'all and just make it work. You know, do a Tim Gunn.
A podcast that's audible, you know? That's like the one rule that you
I mean, listen,
yeah, so hopefully this is sounding
listen
pretty good.
Actually, another pun,
actually listen, and the reason why we are no longer recording together in a physical room,
I can't reach across the table and touch her face.
Yeah, unfortunately I'm untouchable now. Yeah. But I've actually moved out of Texas and I now live in California, which is crazy, obviously.
When we say whirlwind, we mean a whirlwind, y'all.
Yeah, we really packed it in a small amount of time. So
and in a 26-foot truck.
Yeah, True. I was promoted to an HQ position. So now I'm part of. Yeah. But I am part of corporate America, you know, one of the bourgeoisie, if you want.
She is a mindless corporate slug now.
Yes, I sure am. And I moved at the end of January. And before all of that happened, I had to pack a 3-bedroom house. And then I also got COVID. So that was literally within like a 3-week span of time packing and then a week
literally
and a half
of COVID. Like I stopped being able to see you. I did drive to your house and stand outside your house like a 1980s boy in love with a boombox. I went from not being able to see. Okay. So we got the news that she was moving. We did New Year's.
Yeah.
And then I wasn't able to see you because you had COVID.
Yeah.
And then I literally came over just to help you pack up your house.
Yeah.
And it was, guys, it was a lot.
Yeah, it was a lot.
We're okay. But.
And on top of that, I mean, so you could really say that 2022 really packed it in. Also had a lot going on as well.
See, the problem is like mine is my stuff is really sad.
Yeah.
So we won't dwell to not that Alicia not being here in Texas isn't sad, but it's also very exciting. As I said to Alicia when she left, when you love someone as much as I love Alicia Tollett, which is with my whole heart and flawed soul, this is all you want for them. Like you want them to go out and pursue every opportunity and to, you know, feel fulfilled. So like this. Yeah. While it is very sad, and don't get me wrong, I've cried so many times, and I miss
I made jokes with my husband. I was like, I cried through all 4 states.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. Landscape was beautiful. It was a nice drive, but I cried most of the time.
You know, I miss my best friend so much and every day, but it is steeped in excitement and joy and anticipation. And I'm just so damn proud of this girl. So I mean, in all of the sad things that have happened to me in 2022, I am not including you moving, but please know, listener, that I am very sad.
I include me like it's kind of it's a weird thing. It's like a good with a bad. It's like, here, you can have this, but you have to do it here. And I don't hate it. Like I don't, it's different. The real thing is I hate being by myself.
Sure. And you also, you're not just without me, your true soulmate, but also without your husband who has a ring from you. So like, that's love, I think.
I mean, I'm like by myself, which sounds crazy, but like all of my family, all of my
nobody's
loved ones
in California.
Are in Texas.
I know. So
like, I am literally here by myself.
So the joke,
I'm getting used to it. I mean, it's
right. You know. But the joke that we say, you know, is that I just have to find a California job now.
Yes.
Which
is accurate. So eventually we will be based out of California.
Yeah.
But for now,
And I will, I am a 1980s boy in a rom-com and I will follow Alicia to California.
She wants to be in California.
It's not just California. For her. I do want to be, you know, like, this is what I want to do. I want to be in the film industry. So like, where's the film industry audience?
Yeah.
So like, you know, this isn't, it's definitely been hard. And I have days where I just like, I explained it to Alicia once. I said the physical emptiness of not, I was like, I talk to her all the time.
Yeah.
In the age of technology that we're in, distance really doesn't matter, right? Like you can talk all the time, but the physical space that she filled in my life is very difficult to cope with being empty. And I know that she's dealing with that times 100 because her whole family's here.
Yes.
So it's a very loaded but exciting time. But let's get into what happened to me. So basically, you know, started out the year at that new job that I am liking quite a bit. It's still in retail and it makes me want to kill myself. But, you know, in terms of retail, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
They pay me better. My hours are very strange, but we're making do. Without going into too much detail, I think you can probably figure out where I work if you follow me on any other social media. But
for sure,
you know, to protect the integrity of the podcast, I'll just say that my hours are strange, but it's okay. Yeah. And
she's
yeah. So I started out this new year with my grandfather dying. Obviously not the best. He had pneumonia. He was 97. It's, you know, we knew it was coming, but it was still kind of a shock. I went to my very first funeral. And I know you're thinking, for someone so dark, you know, how have you never been to a funeral? But I haven't. I had it. So I went to that. And
your grandparents have lived for a long time.
Like, they have
longer than.
Oh, well, my dad's parents died when I was in middle school.
Mm.
So they were in their 80s, you know. So, you know, Doc living in 97 is incredible.
Yeah, for sure.
Then I had many, many issues with my car. My beautiful Beetle started breaking down. So that was going on. There's so many things that happened, like I can't even remember. And then, you know, 6 weeks later, my grandmother died. So I've just now come back from that. There have been some bright spots. I got a brand new car. Listen to this. If you want to hear how savvy I am, I found a car. Listen, I'm going to drive a Beetle till the day I die, probably in a Beetle. My Beetles was just like beyond repair, damaged, problems internally, you know, all sorts of stuff. And I was like, well, I want another Beetle. And everyone I talked to was like, good luck.
Yeah.
And I was like, I want a Beetle that looks just like my Beetle now, but is newer and a backup camera. And they were like, good luck. And that's exactly what I found. It's identical to my other car. It has a backup camera and it only has 17,000 miles on it. Which when I got my original car, it was 50,000 miles. So like,
yeah,
that's fun. That's good. I feel like I'm skipping over some other bad stuff that happened to me, but I think I've blacked it out.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like losing my best friend and losing a couple of family members, not losing my best friend, but you know, so
being there. Yeah.
Yeah. Her story is much more exciting. I'm sorry. but I have so missed recording this, you know, this truly is like a passion project for us. We love doing this together. We love, interacting with you guys. So I'm beyond excited because when I packed up hers and then my podcast equipment, it was pretty emotional.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to lie to you, Alicia Tollett, I had a moment where I was like, maybe this won't come. Maybe this is it.
Yeah. I think that like, I just don't see us not, it's a weird thing. Cause I was talking to Josh, about it, you know, and, it's just something that like we both really love doing and it's just, I don't know, like, I have that thought too, that maybe we wouldn't be able to, but you know, Josh is obviously a really supportive husband, but he's also very supportive of the podcast and everything like that. And he just said, and, like, you will figure it out.
And I think I can say too, he's a supportive friend.
Yeah.
He's my friend.
Know? And there's so many people that listen to us, you know, that have messaged me and asked back and all of that, and so it's nice to have people that want to listen to us. You know, obviously we do this just because we like doing it, but it's obviously great if people are also listening to us.
I do feel like after, you know, all the different stuff that has happened here, my creativity feels a little bit like it's died.
Yeah.
And this is kind of doing the clear, you know, like shocking it back. Because like my TikTok has fallen apart.
I think that we just needed some time to settle, and like it makes me feel like, especially being so far away from my family and being so far away from everybody, including you, it makes me feel a little more normal.
Yeah.
It makes me feel like I'm starting to, you know,
this was a big part of our lives here, you know, yeah. Every week.
Yeah.
And it does, like, you know, more people do it remotely than do it in person.
Yeah. We were very blessed to.
We came at the right time, you know, we came at the right time.
Yeah. And we were, I'm grateful that we were able to do it in person, and hopefully someday we'll be able to do it in person again. But, you know, now we're stretching our legs again. We're getting back into it.
Right. Well, I'm going to figure out timing. I'm going to run away and just come live in your guest room.
I mean, you know,
see, she's so alone to the point where she's open to that, when in reality, she would probably be like, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Do we want to do obsession confessions?
Yeah. Okay.
For
old time's sake, and also because I got something I gotta talk to y'all about, but you go first.
Okay. My obsession confession is gonna be actually a movie, and it's because I watched it the other day and I can't stop thinking about it.
I can guess.
There's actually two. I'm not going to talk very long about this, either one. Turning
you
can see Red.
Me, but you can't.
Like, is it what?
Turning
Red. So that one is actually an add-on that I'm going to say. If you haven't seen Turning Red, see it. It's so cute. Obviously on Disney Plus. I don't think that they're releasing it to theaters, but I don't believe so, but I'm not 100% sure. But it's so cute, and it's just such a great, obviously anybody that has listened to us for any amount of time or knows me personally knows that I love animated movies. The Bob's Burgers movie is coming up in May. I'm really excited about that movie. But also terrified, but that's okay.
I understand.
You know, like when you just love something so much that you're like, if this is shit, I'm going to be so upset.
That's how I feel about Beetlejuice 2.
Yeah. But yeah, Turning Red, do yourself a favor, see it. It's amazing. It's adorable. It's really wholesome. It's not as like sad as Encanto is. Because I feel like Encanto is fine. I got aggravated because at the Oscars, Encanto won for Best Animated when Luca was also on the docket. I was like, disrespectful.
There's lots of things that happened at the Oscars that were disrespectful.
I mean, true. But also Luca is a way better, like, Encanto's fine, whatever. But the movie that I watched the other day, that I think people should watch because it's a lot. And it's actually something that I've thought about doing an episode on. So it's The Eyes of Tammy Faye.
I've seen it
with Jessica Chastain
and my boyfriend
and Andrew Garfield. And it is a good movie. It's great. It was, you know, Jessica Chastain obviously won an Oscar for Best Actress for it.
And Andrew Garfield.
Jessica Chastain, I love her so much.
And in this film, I mean, she is physically almost unrecognizable.
For sure.
And she does such an incredible job. And this film is so strange.
It's so strange, but the story is strange.
So real.
It's very strange. It's cringy. There's so many things about it, but it's just great. You should see it if you have Hulu with HBO. It's on there.
We should do an episode about it. We should just talk about Tammy Faye and Tom Baker.
Yeah.
Because that's an interesting case.
The Bakers. Yeah, it's really crazy.
The Bakers.
The whole thing is crazy. You just, it's insane.
And I might have an unpopular opinion.
Do you say you have an unpopular opinion?
I might have one.
What is it?
My mom thinks she's a victim. Like Tammy Faye's a victim to Tom Baker. You agree?
I don't think that that's an unpopular opinion.
No, that's her opinion. My opinion is that she was,
I think,
more aware of it than they're letting on.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, I don't think she's innocent.
Well, I don't know. I can't tell. I think I'm going to have to do some more research into the actual, like, but the movie is based off a documentary that is actually the same name.
Right.
And the documentary that I have also watched, it paints it kind of the same way. And obviously, like, this is going to be a little easier for people to understand if we do an episode over it. But yeah, it is hard to believe that you wouldn't know some of those things.
However, I don't know that people say that about parents of school shooters. They say it about,
I don't know that it's that she, I don't think that she knew for sure. And like, there is a point in the movie where she says that she is talking to Andrew Garfield. Says, you know,
we're not doing anything illegal, right?
It's not that. It's when she says that she's so sick with her faith in him. And I think that is a very telling moment because she has followed him for so long that she may not have known. She definitely didn't know everything. I think she got a vibe, but she blindly followed him, just kind of how she blindly followed God. That's my stuff. Go watch it. What about you, Kat?
So here's first thing that you should know, really pulling this in full circle to when we first started this podcast, in mere days, when this comes out even closer, I will be going to New York to see Beetlejuice on Broadway.
Yep.
The opening night. We did it, guys.
We did it.
We did it.
As a group, as a unit, we did it.
No, we did it. And I'm sure I will talk about that at length when I come back. Very excited.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what my obsession confession is. It's another HBO thing.
Like an HBO, man. Mm-hmm.
What can I say? They're killing it, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think that they have, like, I think that almost every single movie that was up for an Oscar is available on Hulu through HBO,
except for The Power of the Dog, which I'm currently like a third of the way through on Netflix.
Yes,
it's a little dry, but it's good. Benedict Cumberbatch is in it, and we all know I love Benedict Cumberbatch.
Mm-hmm.
Do we know that? You should.
I mean, he's great, everybody.
You should know that.
Yes.
My current obsession, I've watched many shows in our time apart, because you know me, I'm a show watcher. I'm also a movie watcher, so I've seen many things that I could not talk about all of them, but just as of yesterday I finished a series that I am so obsessed with. And it's called Our Flag Means Death. And it is a pirate workplace comedy. It is so funny. The executive producer is Taika Waititi. I hope that's how you say his name. Who's very funny. He did the Jojo Rabbit movie.
Yep.
Directed Thor.
Does he play Hitler?
He does play Hitler in Jojo Rabbit. And in this, he is Blackbeard.
Mm.
He's in this. With his best friend,
aww,
Ray's Darby, who plays Steed Bonnet. And these are two real pirates that existed. And basically it is just a pirate workplace comedy. But basically it's this guy, it's a rich guy who decides he wants to be a pirate. So he leaves his comfortable life, leaves his wife and children, and hits the high seas. But he's incredibly just rich and whoo, you know, like, yeah. You know, he's not a pirate. Yeah. But he reads books and he loves stories and he wants to be part of the pirate stories. And so he goes and he's horrible at it. And then he meets Blackbeard, the famous and bloodthirsty pirate. And mm-hmm. basically they form this unlikely friendship where he's teaching Blackbeard how to be a gentleman and Blackbeard's teaching him how to be a pirate. And it's so funny. There's a bit where he's like drinking tea. Like, it's so, oh my God, it's yeah. hilarious. And then, you know, I was watching the series and I was like, oh God, their bromance is so sweet. You know, I was like, I'm being swindled again because I'm being queer baited, because do you know how many middle-aged men I've shipped in my lifetime is insanity. I'm like, I'm being queer baited again. And then Alicia, they made them gay. They made them gay.
Aww.
So they become best friends and then they fall in love spoilers. And they kiss. They're gay workplace comedy pirates.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. The best thing I've seen in a long time. It's so funny and so sweet and then ends really sad. Then, but season two is coming. Mm-hmm. Supposedly. So, it's just incredible. It's incredible. I highly recommend it. They're 30-minute episodes. There's only 10.
Yeah.
A walk in the park, really. And the representation, they also have a non-binary pirate.
Mm.
The representation, the inclusivity in this, like, they all use the pronouns correctly. These are pirates. You know? One of them has scurvy. The other yeah. one stands naked on the bow with a bird and he still says the correct pronouns for this character. Like, and they're all so respectful of each. It's the cutest. Yeah. It's the cutest thing in the entire world. Like, in the first episode, he goes, okay, we're going to go on a mission and it might be dangerous. So what do we do if we're feeling insecure? And then the whole crew goes, talk about it.
Wow.
And there's a scene where he reads them all Pinocchio. It's just
yeah,
pure enjoyment. And they've also got, like, because of the creative team behind this, they've got like comedy greats just playing cameos. Will Arnett is in it for a minute. Nick Kroll is in it for a minute.
Yeah.
All these people from like Parks and Rec and SNL fame and what's his name? Fred Armisen is in it for a minute. Leslie Jones plays a pirate in it. Like, it's so good, y'all.
Yeah.
It's so good. So I highly recommend. It is worth a free trial of HBO.
Yeah.
And my excuse me. Someone is zooming past my window. My subscription to HBO ends in a few days.
Oof.
Because I've canceled it because Euphoria is off, you know.
Yeah.
But I think I'm going to re-up it because I got to be able to watch this some more. You know, I finished it, but I got to go back and watch it again because yeah. they're gay. They just, it's all, I didn't realize how much I wanted canically gay
yeah.
characters. It's beautiful. The world's a great place because uh-huh. of these pirates. They have my whole heart.
For sure.
That's my obsession confession.
Well, if you stuck around this long,
I know we have been talking for a minute, but we've been gone for a minute.
I know. And you're here for the case today. Right, this is where it starts. And like you said, this small true crime case we're talking about today is not light. We're just saying that it's small, and it's not small in the way that it's not like intense and messed up. We're just saying that it's small due to the bluntness, really, and the details of the case. So it's very straightforward, but it's still messed up. So we're going to talk about it. The case we're talking about today is out of Green Bay, Wisconsin. And
shall I do it?
Are you going to do a Wisconsin accent?
Wisconsin.
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 And the Green Bay Police Department officers arrived at a house around 3:30 a.m. on the 23rd of February of this year. So this is a current just happened case.
Love that. We don't do that very many of those.
No, this is a current one. So still hasn't gone to sentencing trials, still hasn't there. It's still ongoing. And they showed up to this house after receiving a report of a severed head in a bucket in a basement.
Not exactly the call you want to get at 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
As someone who must wake up at 3 in the morning to go to my job.
Yeah.
That's not what I want.
Yeah. And this call had actually been made by the victim's mother. That's probably the saddest part. Shad Thyrin, and I hope I'm saying his last name right, was identified as the head in the bucket. His mother had come down into the basement where the 25-year-old was living after she heard the front door swing closed at around 2:30 a.m. Shad's mother assumed that the person leaving was Shad's girlfriend, Taylor Shabusiness.
Wow. You weren't kidding about the names in this case.
Correct. Shabusiness seems like a name you would make up to give a man at a bar that won't leave you alone.
My name is Shabusiness.
My name is Nina Shabusiness. Okay. Yeah.
But Shad's mother noticed a light on in the basement and went down to check in on her son and turned the light off. But when she came into the basement, Shad wasn't there. But she did notice some dried blood on the mattress and what looked like blood splatter on the floor. She turned around in the basement and caught sight of a black bucket that was covered by a towel. She walked over to the bucket and realized that she could all of a sudden smell something that seemed off. Don't go in there, girl.
Yeah, don't do it. But unfortunately, she does do it. Shad's mother pulled the towel off the top of the bucket and was not only met with the head of her son, but his dismembered penis as well.
Oh, sweet baby Jesus.
Just a bucket in the basement. It's so sad.
A head and a penis?
It gets worse. It gets worse.
How?
Well, let me tell you, the mother immediately reported the horrific scene to the police officers and also let them know that she knew that the last person to be with her son was, in fact, his girlfriend, Taylor Shabusiness. So after sending some officers to the basement scene, some other detectives went to talk to Taylor.
Right. So Detective Graff of the Green Bay Packers, I mean, police department, said that when they arrived, did you like that? A little sports humor.
Yeah.
They said that they went.
We so sports. I love sports.
Go sports. When they arrived at the home of Miss Shabusiness, she appeared to have dried blood on her black hoodie and sweatpants. She also had smeared dry blood on her hands. She clearly has not tried very hard to clean herself up, but we will in a minute kind of like get into her state of mind in the whole situation.
Yeah. So the detectives took her to the station for questioning because obviously she's covered in blood. They're like, yeah, you're going to go ahead and come with us. And when they told her about the head in the bucket, she replied with, "That's pretty fucked up."
Yeah, it is, Taylor. It's pretty fucked up.
I can't even imagine being that detective.
That's, I think I would have laughed.
I'd have been like, "You think so?" And after that, the detectives wasted no time in asking her where the rest of Shad's body was, to which Taylor told them it was in the basement. And she would go on to also say that the police were going to have fun trying to find all the organs.
Oh my God. If you're
at this point, when you hear a statement like that, I'm like, that is some cold, like shitty, like weird thing to say about somebody's son in a fucking bucket.
Yeah.
I just, oh, God.
I don't even know. If you are in this far and still wondering why and how someone could do this.
Correct.
Taylor claimed that she had spent most of the 2 days prior to killing Shad taking methamphetamines, smoking marijuana, and intravenously using an antidepressant trazodone before returning to his mother's home.
So drugs. Drugs are apparently Taylor's reasoning. And for anybody that missed that, meth. They were smoking meth.
Sure. And then, so here's the thing. Like, sometimes I take trazodone.
Yeah. But not, well, it's a downer. Well,
not like that.
Well, apparently, so this seems like a weird combination, but in the research looking at this, sometimes people who are addicted to methamphetamines, mm-hmm. or, you know,
I've seen Euphoria, I follow,
they will take something to help them with the downward spiral that meth creates. Mm-hmm. So she is pretty heavily drugged, but you have to think, like, how intent, like, you just, it's like that moment where you're just like, meth is a hell of a drug.
I guess so.
Like a bucket in the basement. Yeah. Like, and it escalates. Like, it's a lot. But she's blaming drugs. That's her reasoning. And actually, Taylor went on to detail how during sex, she quote unquote went crazy and strangled him with the silver chain, which she described kind of as like a dog chain, until she could feel his heart stop beating. So at some point in time during their sexual interaction, he pulls out these chains. She tells the detectives that they were having consensual sex. They each had a chain, and she decided that she was going to strangle him with it. After she claimed that she blacked out, but also explained that she continued to strangle him even after his face turned purple and blood came from his mouth. Hmm. And detectives also say that she told them that she enjoyed it and wanted to see what happened if she continued to strangle him for the 3 to 5 minute ordeal.
Yeah.
So she knows she's killing him.
Right.
Like, she knows it.
She also
told, or not, like, yeah, she knows.
But she also told the Green Bay detectives that she sexually abused Shad's body, his dead body, for several hours in the basement before eventually dismembering him and leaving the basement on that morning of February 23rd with one of his feet and a leg.
Yeah.
Souvenir. Yeah.
It's a whole thing. Like, I don't, so, but, because I'll have to tell you, like, her charges or whatever, because, like, she does admit to sexually abusing his dead body for several hours. And it's just like, is that not like, if for certain she could blame meth for that, I'm like, I mean, Jesus Christ, though.
Yeah.
And actually, while searching the basement, the detectives found Shad's torso and his internal organs, apparently not all of them, but they found some of them, and they found them in a tote bag, just a canvas tote bag.
Going to Barnes & Noble.
Yeah, I was just like, Jesus. Along with knives that Taylor had taken from the kitchen of the Thyron house, that she used to cut up Shad. She had separated his body parts into different bags, and hid these bags throughout the basement, and had also placed the various knives around the basement. So she kind of hid them all within the basement.
Like, as if they're not going to find them.
Correct. Like, it's weird. It's a weird, like, thought process that she's having.
I don't think the thought process anymore.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but and you may be asking yourself what happened to the foot and leg that Taylor took with her. Detectives found the body parts in a crock pot in her minivan. She did tell the detectives that she had planned on taking his entire body, but became too lazy and decided to just leave it.
Interesting.
So she walks outside with the foot and the leg, puts it in the crock pot that's just chilling in her minivan. And then she's like, you know what? Never mind. I'm not going back in for it. I'm just going to leave it.
Interesting. She also let the detectives know that the best knife for chopping up Shad was a butter knife because it was serrated.
I'm calling bullshit on that. I am calling, like, that is
the my most butter knife is not
logic serrated. Thing I've ever heard in my life.
I'm
like, the idea that this woman, I'm also going to tell y'all, Taylor Shabusiness, she is 5'2" and she weighs 120 pounds. She is a small individual. She is small. And she is attempting to tell us that she cut that boy's body up with a serrated butter knife. Even though the detectives found at least 5 or 6 other knives in the basement, all covered in his blood. And she just wants to be like, I'm quirky. I used a butter knife. Like, right.
My butter knife isn't serrated.
You could not do that. No. You would have to, you would like it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe on meth you could. I don't know.
I know that it affects some things, but I don't think it affects that many things.
Like, it doesn't affect the knife.
It doesn't give you super strength.
It's just like, geez. And also, one of the things, Taylor told the detectives all these things before closing out her confession by asking the detectives if they knew what it was like to love something so much that you kill it. So, Taylor Shabusiness is, I believe right now, currently, she is in custody at the Brown County Jail in Wisconsin. And she's being held on a $2 million bail.
It would be more than that.
You know, she's not gonna, I mean, $2 million is
a lot, but
it's a lot for, it's a lot for like a normal person. Like, $2 million, there's no way she's gonna be sitting there for a while.
I know, but like, sometimes when things are really gruesome, they'll do like $40 million.
Yeah. I think that they knew probably from the fucking crock pot with the body parts in it in a minivan. And it's not like people were, I've seen things where they're like, oh, she was planning on eating him. I don't think so. Like, the crock pot was just like in a laundry basket in her minivan. She was just like, I need somewhere to put this where I'm not looking at it. I'm going to put it in this crock pot.
How did she get the leg in the
crock pot? How did she fit a leg and a foot into a crock pot? I don't know. And honestly, like, I don't know. I'm sure, but she probably chopped it up into several, like, bit. I don't know.
But also, like, why did she have a crock pot?
I don't know. Just on top of her laundry. I don't know. But she was also, like, heavily addicted to meth and is heavily addicted to meth. So I don't know what her life is. But I would also like to point out,
are you saying it's none of your shit business?
It's not none of my shit business, I guess. Yeah. She's 24.
Oh.
She's 24 and Shad was 25.
Oh, they're children.
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 How could she have possibly? So, in case anybody is interested in what she's being charged with, she's being charged with first degree intentional homicide, which obviously. Uh-huh. Mutilating a corpse, and that's because of her sexual assault situations with Shad's body, and also the dismemberment, because she is also being, I actually think mutilating a corpse is the dismemberment part, because then she is also being charged with third degree sexual assault. Yeah. And so at this point, she's not
denying any of it.
So right now what they're trying to do for Taylor Shabusiness is a competency evaluation. So they're kind of trying to figure out like mentally where she is. But what I will say, and we've said this in episodes prior, insanity pleas are really hard to prove. And really it's along the lines of whether she knew she was doing something wrong. Mm-hmm. And dismembering the body and hiding it.
Seems to know.
She definitely knows, and she even tells those officers that, like, at some point she just tells them like that she just wanted to see what would happen. So that is currently what's happening in the Taylor Shabusiness case out of Wisconsin.
I just want to go back to talking about my gay pirates. You know,
it's a rough one. I mean, and it's really sad. Like
but what's crazy is like something like this, I feel like cases like this usually happen in the past.
Mm.
You know, like these big bloody cases.
Mm.
But well, this
is, I mean, I think that it's, I think with one, first off, we've talked about like female,
yeah,
killers and them not typically being it's just not normally a thing, like female killers, especially because what she is doing is killing or she did kill in what seemed like a sexual, especially with like her talking about sexually assaulting his dead body, like,
yeah.
And obviously with the meth situation and her being like drugged out of her mind, it's hard because it's hard to say, like, especially from somebody who has never used meth in their life and like
does it want to,
you know, it's hard to say like what that could do, but to me it's not like she was on like PCP or like something that would.
But even then, it's like hard to argue.
Like, she knew she was killing him. She even says that. She
said it. Yeah. So I don't think the insanity charge is going to work.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I think it's going to be.
I mean, and I think like as young as she is, like it makes me nervous for her. Like, I feel like what it is it's something that she has thought about, because she is also getting a chart. She's also being charged for probation, like that she's gone against like probation, which means that she's been charged for things previous to this.
We know what it is.
So, let me see. I'm not sure, to be honest. I felt like it was assault, but
yeah, I think
this it's either a drug charge or it's an assault, but I can't remember which one it is.
I don't think she
and it may be both. Oh nope, I was right. Okay, so I'm looking at like the court documents right now, and it says that she was it says the defendant is a repeater, having been convicted of battery or threat to a judge, prosecutor or law enforcement officer in Brown County case number, gives the case number, which conviction remain of record and unrevised. The maximum term of imprisonment for the underlying crime may be increased 6 years if the prior conviction was for a felony. So basically, which it was battery.
Yeah, so she's a repeat of, I mean, obviously this is an escalation, quite a large escalation.
It makes you wonder about like when people talk about like drunk minds create sober tongues or whatever,
right?
That like maybe it, she's a scary individual, like that. Yes. To me, she is a scary individual, because my brain feels like she is using the drug situation as an excuse,
right?
And she's maybe on meth she felt like, yeah, fuck it,
yeah.
But let's
she's
do
not
it.
I mean, she's not gonna get away with this though. Like this
Oh, for sure not.
Yeah. So she's gonna go either away for a long time, or I hope she doesn't get sent to a mental hospital, because that's almost like she doesn't deserve that.
I guess it's just going to depend on how her evaluation comes out.
Yeah.
But I think because her thing, her prior charge is battery of a judge.
Yeah.
Or an officer, that it's probably going to be.
It's not looking good for the old show business.
Yeah. So.
So that. That's a, I mean, that's
a lot.
It's a bit like, it's for such a small, like, punchy case, like in and out real fast. It's a big case, you know, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, what happens from here and what, you know, it'll kind of be like the Free Britney episode we did where we kind of gave updates. We'll give you guys some updates as soon as we know some. And the Saeed case, when that broke, you know, but yeah, what a corker.
Yeah. It's,
you okay?
Yeah. Sorry. I, messed up and I was reading the court documents. I continued to read the court documents and it's not good. It's not,
oh Lord.
It's not good. Yeah. Anyways. But wow, those court documents are detailed.
Anything you want to share with the class?
Not really. We're you know, glad to be back. We'll be starting our US road trip, our killer tour, soon, I'm sure.
That's right.
You know, that's a crowd favorite, and you know,
I love them. You love them. And I do think we should do an episode about Tammy Faye and Tom Baker.
Oh, for sure. I think it'll be something different. And something that is really interesting, especially when it comes to like evangelical, or how do you say it? Evangelics?
Evangelical Christians?
Yeah, but the ones that are on TV.
Evangelists.
Evangelism. Evangelists. There you go. So I think that it's an interesting look, especially like I love to look at cult theory, and not to offend anyone. But I do think that some of Tammy Faye's characteristics were that of somebody that could have easily fallen into a cult and kind of did. When it came to like her faith in her husband. So it's a weird thing, but for sure, I think eventually we'll do that. I think it may be it's a massive case, just because there's so much to it,
and it's a long period of time
for sure. Yeah.
But let us know, follow us on Instagram. We're still there, guys. It's sure. redhead_report. Get on that, and let us know, like, if you want to see a Tammy Faye and Tom Baker episode, if you want updates on this case, just like, let us know. Let's start a conversation. We'll post on there that this episode is out. We look forward to seeing your excitement that it's back. I also want to remind you that you can get very Tammy Baker of me. You can give to us.
You can pledge to us.
And Jesus loves you. He really does.
He really does.
You can go on anchor.fm/theredheadreport. And you can give a monthly amount to us. It helps us make this podcast. It helps us reach a broader audience.
So we are still throwing around the idea of a Patreon, but this is kind of pre-Patreon,
right? This is pledges. Just a way, this is a way for you to, this is a way for you to give to our nest egg so that we can boost content and just, you know, help us out. Like, I donate like $4 a month to my own podcast. You can do $1, you can do $4, you can do $10, you can do whatever you want. Like, it doesn't have to be, every little bit helps.
Do you know if Spotify, does Spotify show us?
It does. We have four supporters right now.
Aww.
The majority of them are my family members. Yes. But we appreciate those Ingrams. You know, we appreciate a loving, supportive family. But yeah, go on there. Every little bit helps, and it helps us make this. And we want to do this. We want to make more of this for you. So sound off, leave a potato in the comments of our picture that we'll post for this episode. If you're excited that the Redhead Report is back, just comment a potato emoji. Only the OGs will remember that.
Potato's gonna potate.
And is there anything else, Miss Alicia, that you want to say?
I don't think so. You know, other than, you know, I'm happy to be back.
Me too, girl. Me too. I'm happy to see your beautiful face on this screen. And, you know, maybe when we have a Patreon, we'll actually like upload the videos of this, because now there's video footage of us.
Yeah.
Not this one. Not this one.
Yep, not this one.
But maybe one day.
Yeah.
Watch an hour long video of us talking about grisly murders.
Right.
All right, guys. I cannot wait to say this. Be kind to each other. Remember, Black Lives Matter. Stop Asian hate. Get vaccinated. We're kind of seeing a light at the end of the tunnel with this whole COVID thing. Make sure you continue to stay vigilant and stay healthy. Protect those around you. We done freed Britney, so we don't need to say that anymore. She done been freed. what else did I used to say? I guess all I have to say is we're glad to be back.
Sure.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.